Hello, and welcome to this podcast. This is Omi Sanyal, editor of Control Risks in Delhi. We are very fortunate today to have in the same room Kent Kettle and James Owen. Kent has been obsessing about China for almost three decades now. In the 1980s and early 90s, he taught English and journalism there. In the mid-90s, he worked in the IT and manufacturing sectors before joining Control Risks. He recently shifted from being the company's IT business head for Greater China to being the head of the compliance, forensics, and intelligence business across the Asia Pacific. James heads the Control Risks business in India and South Asia. Before this role, he led the company's compliance, forensics, and intelligence business in India and before that in Russia. Kent, back in 2005, you co-authored a book, The China Ready Company, a handbook of sorts for companies wanting to set up shop in China. How would you want to update it today? What has changed in the last few years in terms of doing business in China?
It's actually something I think of constantly. That book was focused on market entry strategy. It was the mid-2000s, and everybody was completely focused on how to get in, grab a hold of the China market. We couldn't spell FCPA at the time. Nobody knew what the FCPA was. And now, of course, everybody you know is very familiar with the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. So one of the glaring oversights, and I talk with my co-author all the time about this, we're good friends, is that we did not talk about compliance. We talked about how to get access to markets, how to find out how to do that, how to do a good deal from a commercial strategy and from a deal negotiation standpoint. But we did not talk about how to do it in a compliant manner. Now, that was kind of assumed. We figured that companies would not go in and, you know, bribe to do things. But to now think purposefully about how companies can go in and valuing markets on the basis of how compliant you can do that, that's something we completely missed in the book. So that's how I would update it now.
China's Xi Jinping and India's Narendra Modi both came to power a few years ago, riding loud anti-corruption campaigns. Has that affected ways of doing business in China and India, James?
Well, from an Indian point of view, I think the simple answer to that is that perhaps at a central level, I think in the corridors of power in New Delhi, anecdotally, what we're hearing is that there is more transparency. And I think there have been real inroads into tackling the issue of corruption at a grand scale in the country. You only have to remember the last days of the Congress administration and the way in which Congress corruption dominated the headlines in the newspapers and across the TV stations in the country on an almost daily, if not hourly, basis. That isn't the case now. Actually, if you look at some of the top priorities for leading companies doing business in India, and we have this conversation with many of these companies, corruption actually is probably not the number one thing now. It was three, 4 years ago. That said, if you're actually doing business here on the ground, if you're getting trucks to go from one state to another state across state borders, not much has changed yet. It's going to take a long time for these changes to filter down to a ground level. And frankly, the operating environment hasn't changed significantly, really, in the last couple of years.
Is it something just a matter of policy at the central level, or has it got to be drilled down? Is it possible, actually, to clean up a bureaucracy the size of India, China?
Well, from an India point of view, the bureaucracy is huge. In many ways, that's a legacy of the time that the British spent administrating this country. It is a sizable challenge. It is part of the bottleneck that exists for the current government. The rhetoric is great. It's all about the enforcement. And if the enforcement isn't there and it's been patchy at best, though we're noticing a degree of uptick in regulatory scrutiny in certain sectors like pharma, for example, and healthcare, if that isn't there, then it's going to be very difficult for there to be real sustainable change on the ground.
We have seen some examples of exactly those sectors in China being affected by corruption or compliance issues. What's been the experience in China with Xi's anti-corruption drive?
It's been huge. It's been a bigger impact than I ever would have thought possible. To be honest, I was a bit cynical when he first came out with the anti-corruption. We've heard that before. you know, since the 80s. You've heard that about every 10 years. It kind of comes out. And he's been very serious about it. And he's been serious about it at the party level, the CCDI, the anti-corruption, basically internal party police, have gone going after party members, going after state-owned enterprises. And then, of course, there have been some very public beatings of foreign companies as well in this. And so it really is moving the needle in China on how companies are looking at how they do business. The question is, how deep will it go? And I mean, how sustained will that anti-corruption be? And will it hit all levels? In the healthcare sector, for example, right now, they're going after the givers of the bribes, but they're not going after the people with their hand out, the hospital administrators, the hospitals, the doctors, and things like that. So until they really go along the whole, I don't know if you can call bribery a value chain, the devalue chain of bribery, then until they do that, it's not going to get fixed.
Thank you, Kent and James, and thank you for listening to this podcast. This is Omi Sanyal in Control Risks, Delhi.